Do you want to ensure a smooth transition for your business in the event of unexpected events? In this episode, I have a conversation with Wayne Zell, a seasoned professional in business succession planning. We'll explore real-life examples, and Wayne will give some insights on the importance of succession and financial planning, building a solid exit strategy for entrepreneurs and business owners.
This is the Executor Help Podcast, the show for people who want the sense of security knowing all their affairs are in order. Avoid the stress and anxiety of what could happen to your estate, to your assets, and to your family when you're no longer here. Now here's your host, David Eady.
Wayne Zell is an attorney and exit planner who's been advising clients for over 35 years on business succession planning. He's the architect behind hundreds of transactions that have not only created millionaires, but also, with his expertise, saves his clients millions of dollars. Wayne is also the author of Your Multi-Million Dollar Exit. Wayne, thanks for taking the time to have a conversation today.
David, thanks so much for having me today. I appreciate it.
Given the emotional and psychological challenges being a business owner, how should a business owner begin the conversation about exit planning, both internally inside the business and also with their loved ones?
I always say start with the loved ones first, because family comes first. Anthony Rendon, who's a baseball player for the Los Angeles Angels, who used to play for the Washington Nationals here, formerly the Montreal Expos, I might say.
Yeah, bring that up, eh?
He said when asked about what his priorities in life are, it's family, then faith, then baseball. Always talk to your family about your succession planning ideas and issues and concerns first. And it deals with estate planning. It deals with business planning. And on the estate planning side, you want to make sure that you're talking with your loved one, whether it's a partner, a spouse, your kids, about what happens if something happens to you. What planning have you done in the event of your disability or your death? I always start with that because it's one of the most important things. And even if you're just starting your business at the very beginning, you need to think about that. And you need to think about what plans you have in place to take care of your family, God forbid something happens to you. And then you start thinking about the overall exit. What is my exit plan? We use something called the Entrepreneurial Operating System, which is a book that is known as Traction, written by a guy named Gino Wickman. And it's a great system, but it basically says you have to do planning in chunks. You have to do 1 year, 3 year, 5 year, 10 year planning. So you really ought to look out 10 years and where do you want to be? And you need to put a date on your exit. And that's part of what exit planning is all about. You really have to, even if it's 20 years from now, you need to basically plan for a date on which you're no longer going to be working full-time in the business, and then back plan from there. And what do you need to have by the end of that time in order to successfully provide for yourself, for your family, and for your employees who you care deeply about? So that's the discussion. You start with your family, but you need to have a discussion with your employees. I'm doing my own succession planning now for my practice, and I've had discussions with my employees, my senior employees, about, are you going to be here to help the clients if something happens to me? And so it's a really important discussion.
Yeah, and that's the reason why I also do shows on succession planning. Because business owners, they live complex lives. They decided to trade in the stability of working for someone else for the uncertainty of controlling their own destiny. And if you don't have a succession plan or don't have those conversations, it can really lead to a mess going forward. Just before I pushed to record, I started to discuss with you about Tony Hsieh. I actually talk about him in the book. Tony Hsieh was CEO of the online shoe company Zappos. Parts of Las Vegas, he revitalized it. In July 2009, Amazon bought him out for $1.2 billion. He made $214 million. August 2020, he retires at age 46 from the company. November 27th, 2020, he dies 2 weeks before his 47th birthday. He left an estimated net worth of $850 million. No will and no succession plan. What could possibly go wrong there? And it's the uncertainty that business owners don't think about. They're so busy about creating their own destiny. They don't think about the uncertain exit that could happen.
Think about all the musicians who've been in that same position who really had businesses. Prince is an example. Michael Jackson's estate is still caught up in litigation.
Aretha Franklin.
Absolutely. And these are people that made a lot of money during their lifetimes and even in their death continue to generate royalties. Jimi Hendrix, the estates are still receiving royalties from their music. And the question is, what happens? And what happens to the money? Who's managing it? Who's managing it for the benefit of the family? And what steps have you taken to make sure that your family's taken care of properly? Because if you have to go through probate, you know this better than anyone, it's going to delay and potentially cost millions and millions of dollars, particularly in taxes.
So we've talked in big picture. We talked about Tony Hsieh. You mentioned Prince, Michael Jackson. But the small business owner, they're not thinking about succession planning. They see that as a sort of a future problem. Have you got any other examples where you can illustrate where being proactive, doing the planning is so crucial, especially for businesses that are just starting out?
Being proactive. Yeah. Even just put yourself in the shoes of somebody who's getting ready to start a new business. Let's say they left the employment with a big employer after many years and they've saved up some money and they want to run their own business. And a lot of people go out and they open franchises. Okay, let's go open a yogurt franchise or something like that. And it's going to cost money to set it up. So you've borrowed from, you've taken money out of your retirement or you've used your retirement in some kind of Rob's plan, or maybe you borrowed from a bank or another lender and you set up this company and you've incurred $300,000, $400,000, $500,000 of startup costs to get the infrastructure built for the company. And then you get sick. Something happens to you. If you've done your planning ahead of time, not after you've succeeded in building the business, but at the beginning, what have you done to provide for your family? So do you have insurance that will protect your family, God forbid, in the event that you die? Or if you become disabled, what planning have you done? Do you have assets outside of the business to allow your family to continue living in the manner in which they're accustomed to living? So it's doing financial planning. It's really the first step in business exit planning, is doing your financial planning at the front end to figure out what you need to live on the rest of your life. And what do you have outside of the business to do that? And a lot of entrepreneurs just kick the can down the road all the way to the end almost. I'll have clients come in at the age of 70 or 75 who haven't done any planning. Not forget about the estate planning. I'm talking about financial planning, business planning, and figuring out how they're going to pass this business on to the next generation of family members or to their inside management team or selling it to a third party. How are they going to do all this if they haven't thought about this ahead of time? If you wait till the end, it may be too late. And so here's a good example of one that did not do the planning, but they had done some planning. I had a client, he just started to become a client. And we were planning on doing his estate planning and business succession planning, getting everything ready because he was building a government contracting business here in the Washington, D.C. area. And I got a call right before New Year's Eve from his son. And the son said, "Mr. Zell," I said, "what's the matter? You sound terrible. My dad just passed away." "What? How old was he?" "55. He's 55 years old. "What happened?" "He fell down. He went into a diabetic shock. Fell down, hit his head, and died suddenly." Here's a guy that was building a company that already had $17 million in revenue, and it was on a very, very fast growth path. In fact, he had brought in two outside investors who were very experienced in the industry. Fortunately, that was the smartest thing that he did at the very front end, who were minority investors. He was a service disabled veteran, and he was building this company, and it had $17 million in revenue in the year that he died. But there was nothing else in place. He had a CFO and his son was working for him, the one who called me, and his wife had no experience in the business. That was it. There was no board of directors. There was really no management team at all. So the son called me. I said, "Look, let's take care of everything. Make sure the family's okay. Arrange for the funeral. Anything you need in that regard, I can help you. And then let's get together after New Year's and start talking about what to do about the business." First thing we did was we contacted the CFO, and the CFO notified us that she had taken out a bonus from the company of $90,000. Ooh. I said, "Can you counsel of the company, can you provide me with evidence of the approval of the bones? John told me that it was okay. He said it was okay for me to take the bones. I said, just give me an email or something from him that articulates that. I don't have that. I said, you need to restore the bonus back to the company. She said, I'm not going to do that. And you have no authority to do that. I said, it just so happens that his wife is now basically in charge of his ownership of the stock of the company. And we've got two minority shareholders. We're going to convene a board of directors. So we assembled a board with the minority shareholders, with the wife, with the son. I participated on the board. We fired the CFO, got rid of her immediately, brought in a management team to help run the company, and brought in investment bankers to help evaluate what the value of the company was and what its potential for sale was. Initially, the investment banker said, you really can't sell this business. It's a service-disabled veteran business. You're going to have to recertify all of your contracts in order to sell the business. It's not going to be worth anything. I said, come back and see us in a couple of years. So we brought in the management team. They tripled the revenue of the business. And the investment bankers we talked to said, you still are only going to be able to sell it for $11 or $12 million. It was $54 million of revenue. We said, no, we're going to find a better investment banker who's going to basically help us sell this business to a private equity firm or somebody that is really willing to see what the value is here. And what they realized was that there was value, and we were able to sell the business for $30 million, and the family was ecstatic. What did I learn from that? What did we learn from that? You got to have a board to oversee the managers. You got to have a management team to run the company if something happens to you. What have you done to set up your management succession plan and link it to your estate planning so that the trustee of your trust or the executor of your will is following the terms of what you've set up in the company to manage the plan in the event that you die or you become disabled suddenly? And there's tons of stories that I have. Being proactive will prevent.
It sounds like one extra, if you're a business owner, when it comes to estate and succession plan, it sounds like one other extra layer you have to be concerned about. Because you're talking about that CFO that took that extra bonus there. She's no different than if on the estate side, a beneficiary takes advantage, feels entitled. It when it comes to, I always say you don't really know about somebody until you have to share an inheritance with them. It's no difference now in the succession planning side where the CFO said, he told me I could take the $90,000. Excuse me, have you got some proof? No, bring that cash back in, please. Thank you very much. It's when there's dollars involved and it's some, whether it be, so like I'm saying, on the estate side of the succession, people seem to lose their mind when it comes to money, that there's some sort of sense of entitlement. It boggles my mind.
Find that not only in family members and in beneficiaries of the estate or the heirs, but you'll also find it in the employees. They'll think that they've been there for 15 or 20 years or 5 years or 7 years or whatever, and they're entitled to continue working there. And we want them to continue working there because they're the ones that have helped us build the value in our business. But at the same time, we want to have some checks and balances on them to prevent them from taking something out that they think they've earned without permission of a board or some oversight committee that needs to make sure that the business is being run properly. And so what we do is what I've done in the book is I talk about building a management succession plan. The management succession plan deals with day-to-day operations. Who's running sales and marketing? Who's running manufacturing? Who's running operations? Who's running finance? And what authority do they have? And what authority must they look to somebody else for approval? And that's where you bring in a board of directors or a board of managers for a limited liability company that may consist of family members, may consist of the executor of your will or the trustee of your trust. And you want to have a group of people overseeing the managers on a day-to-day basis, because I've seen it happen multiple times where you just designate somebody to take care of your business. So you take a sabbatical, or you have an operation, or you're in an accident, you go into a coma. There's one person running it and there's nobody overseeing them. It's a great temptation to do the wrong thing.
It's funny, as you were talking to me, I love the show Shark Tank. And here in Canada, we also have Dragons. And now you've got me to think differently now I'm watching the show, because it's going to make me think every time one of those, an entrepreneur walks through those doors and comes into the Shark Tank, how many of them, based on what they've achieved to even get on the stage in front of them, what have they done when it comes to estate or succession planning? All the great sales, all of the, you're making, you're doing zero. Wow. Maybe we should go on and maybe have a segment on Shark Tank. I'm just throwing an idea up. Anyway.
But invite some of the participants.
Exactly. Sure. Or we just sit off to the side and we ask those extra questions while the sharks are asking. Or in Canada here, we have a dragon's den. Same thing. For business owners that aren't really versed in, you brought up the components of the management succession plan, the MS. What is it they should understand about the other parts of the components to it?
Exit planning is really a process. And I'm a member of the Business Enterprise Institute and in the process of getting my certified exit planning designation, but they have a 7-step process, which is really logical. And the very first step in that process is to figure out what your exit objectives are. What do you want to take out of the business? Some of our clients, they'll say, I'm taking home $300,000, $400,000 a year. Why do I even want to sell it? The reason is you may have people that are working for you that are uncertain about their future. And so how do we incentivize them to stay and so on? So your exit objectives may be to work until you're 75. But what happens if you die at the age of 47, like Tony Hsieh at Zappos, right? So you need to plan for the unexpected. And you need to also plan for the expected exit. So there's two types of exits. But the first thing you do is you bring in a financial planner, which I'm not, but you bring in a certified financial planner or financial advisor to evaluate the assets that you've got and the cash flow that you're generating from the business. And what is the value of your business today? So if you did want to sell it, could you sell it? One of the biggest questions that comes up is there transferable value? So in other words, if you're not going to stay with the business, is it worth anything if you transfer the business? So that's step one, figure out what you've got, what your objectives are. And then step two is part of that, evaluating your personal resources and your business and financial resources and figuring out, do I have enough to live on? Is there a gap between what your goal is? Do I need $500,000 a year to live versus I can only generate $100,000 from my investments today and my business can't be sold? So how do I build the gap? How do I fill the gap in value? And that's steps 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. Step three is, how do I build the value and preserve it in the business? How do I keep my employees engaged? How do I fill the value gaps in my business? How do I create transferable value? Step four is, if I want to sell my company to a third party, what do I need to do? My book has a whole chapter on that. Step five is, if I don't want to sell it to a third party, an unrelated third party, like a strategic buyer or a private equity firm or something like that, how do I transfer to my team, my insiders, my employees? Can I use an ESOP? Can I transfer it to my management team if I don't want to use an ESOP? Step six is the management succession plan. What business continuity instructions do I have for my family and my team so that the business will continue to operate seamlessly if something happens to me? And then step seven is really figuring out what my wealth is. And have I done the estate planning? That's all part of this. Now, I often take steps 6 and 7 and combine them and move them up to the front because I always am afraid of something happening to my client and they haven't done any planning for it. It's moving the business continuity and management succession plan and the estate planning, which should be linked up to the front end of the process, but it's a 7-step process and that yields a comprehensive exit plan. But it always begins with the question of, when do you want to exit? And you have to be able to articulate that. And if you can't, you need to be thinking about that even at the beginning. Like Stephen Covey says, the planning begins at the beginning. Your business plan starts at the very beginning of the business, and your exit should be planned from the beginning as well.
You mentioned the management succession plan. It sounds like you're talking about bricks and mortar, franchises, people that are walk through the doors on Shark Tank. It's a product. How does it differ for people who are doctors or lawyers, accountants, financial advisors, because they're not selling, they're selling their services, their mind, your creative, or if you're an author. How does it differ when it comes to applying the MSP?
Yeah, every MSP, every management succession plan varies depending on one, the stage of the business. Is it a rocket ship taking off, or are you at the end stage of the business? Or are you just starting up and you don't know which way you're headed? That's number one. The other is the industry. If you're in the business of rendering professional services, we have ethical responsibilities and restrictions. So we can't just hand the business over to a non-lawyer if we're lawyers, or a non-CPA if we're CPAs and we're rendering the attest function in an audit. So you have to be thinking about that. The financial advisory world has gotten very good at business succession. They, in the bigger firms like UBS and Merrill Lynch, they have actual business succession planning structures for those advisors who built teams of people to service their clients. And they want to keep the teams, and they want, of course, want to keep the clients with the firm because they generate an ongoing annuity in the form of fees that they generate from assets under management. UBS is a good example. I've been working with one of the advisors there, and they have a very succinct structure that you fit in. With lawyers, it's different. In small firms like mine, you have to figure out, do I have the people that I need that can service the clients that I'm servicing if something happens to me? Whether it's estate planning, business planning, and in our case, tax planning, which we do here as well. Do I have the right people? And if I don't, what do I need to do to ensure that the clients are taken care of and the employees can be taken care of? So it may involve merging my firm into a larger firm that has the capabilities to service the clients and also has the same kind of culture that we have here, which is very family oriented. We all care about each other. We all operate as a team. So the management succession plan is not just a product. It's really a function of your company, how you operate it today, who's there. And by the way, who do we need to fill in the gaps in case something happens to me? And so if I don't have, that's one of the value gaps that I need to install that is really not part of a management succession plan per se. It's really one of the things I need to do to preserve the value of the business, to grow the business, and preserve the legacy that I've created for my team, for my family, and for my client.
You also mentioned anticipating the unexpected. Now, you've seen quite a lot of, with all that experience you've got, have you got a story where you were not having the exit plan in place had significant consequences for a business and a family? We talked about Tony Hsieh, but is there some other, and we talked about Prince, are there some other?
Is talked this about my, case my, comes family, my client too, who died unexpectedly, but here's another one. I have a client who he's alive, thank goodness. He loved to jump out of helicopters and ski. He's a wild man. He loves to ride motorcycles at very high speeds. And he got into an accident and was really severely injured and did not have his management succession plan in place. He does now. But he named his CFO to run the business. And the business was a $40 million a year business, revenue-wise. Pretty big business. But he was the 100% owner of the business. And he trusted this person to run the business, another CFO, who got a little greedy. Turns out that he came back after a year of convalescing and recuperating and not really having his eye on the business. He came back and found that the business was short $1 million in cash. And the revenues had declined significantly. Turned out that the CFO had diverted a bunch of business to a company that he was operating on the side doing the same thing. What could he have done to prevent that from happening? And what has he done to prevent that from happening in the future? He built in a management succession plan that he named who's in charge of finances. Of course, he got rid of the CFO that was working with him. Who's in charge of operations and production? And then who is going to oversee this team? What does that board of directors look like? And how do we incentivize all the employees to stay, again, if something happens to me? And how do we incentivize the board to serve? So we may have to compensate them. And this plan comes into being if I become permanently disabled or severely disabled, or I die. It doesn't come into being before then, although it's probably a good idea to get the managers in place to run the business and set their expectations so that if anything does happen, they know what to do. And so it's building this infrastructure ahead of time, just as you want to do that, the infrastructure and the transferable value, so you can sell your business when it's time to sell it later on. So it's planning for the expected, planning for the unexpected. You just never know what's going to happen. And who do you trust? And how do you protect your family and your business from people that may have questionable motives? They get greedy. People get greedy. As you can see, they feel entitled. They can do anything they want to do.
Absolutely. And
they don't understand that what they maybe do is fraud. It could be criminal, could clearly civil action. And what happens when that happens? You can get nailed with massive penalties like our former president.
Your former president. Anyway, speaking from Canada, sorry.
Yeah, I don't want to own him as,
but let's move on.
The United States for
Wayne, keep moving. Let's keep moving. Beyond the financial standpoint, there's probably some psychological relief and other tangible benefits from doing effective exit planning. What does it bring to the business owner and their family by doing this? What are we solving for?
Oh my. I mean, it's just like in the estate planning world, you're involved heavily in the estate planning world, and I am too. Which we're doing is because the business is such a major focus of our entrepreneur clients, and I represent almost exclusively entrepreneurs in my practice. So they are so focused on building the business, growing the business, making it successful, that they don't think about this other stuff. And in the background, there's your partner, your spouse, your kids, who are thinking, what happens if something happens to him? Are we going to be able to survive? Are we going to be able to pay for school? Are we going to be able to take care of ourselves? And what this does is psychologically, it brings absolute clarity and certainty to your family and to yourself that you can take care of them. And more importantly, not more importantly, but as important, it helps the employees feel comfortable that you've been thinking about them enough to make sure that they're taken care of. The management succession plan may say, here's so-and-so, she's going to run operations, and I want to make sure that she continues to make the base compensation that she's making, and I want to incentivize her for good performance. And by the way, here's a retention bonus if she stays with the company for a period of time. Oh, and if we sell the company, maybe she'll get a change in control bonus, a sale bonus, so that she's incentivized to help grow the company toward a successful exit, even if I'm not there. So it's giving everybody peace of mind, certainty, clarity as to what is going to happen and if the unexpected happens, and also what your plans are down the road, so that people really know what to look for, and it energizes them to work in the business effectively.
My final question to you. If our listeners are able to take away just one crucial insight from your book about the importance of succession planning, what would you want that to be?
I'd want every listener to read the book and who is an entrepreneur and who has a business and understand that exit planning is a process that starts at the beginning of the business or whenever you can start thinking about it. As soon as you can, you should start thinking about planning for the unexpected and planning for the expected exit from your business, because we all will exit our business, whether we like it or not, at some point in time, just like we will exit our lives at some point in time. And so we want to do the planning up front. And the more planning we do, and it's an annual thing that you should revisit, you should be planning constantly as well as working in the business. So it's working on the business as well as working in the business. And it starts at the beginning. So start your exit planning now.
Perfect words to end it on. Wayne Zell, attorney and exit planner, author of the multi-million dollar exit. I appreciate you taking the time to share your wisdom and the tips and strategies in terms of helping entrepreneurs, because being an entrepreneur is, like I said before, we live complex lives, and it's not like you're getting a paycheck. You're creating your own destiny. And what you've shared today and what you can, people can learn from your book, it's only going to make it easier on them, but they have to make the decision that they want to make sure that they leave a legacy of love and order, that they don't leave a legacy in a mess, whether it be on the estate side or on the succession planning side. for that, I appreciate you. Thanks for being here. I think we should have another conversation down in the future, because we're going to have to keep banging the drum. Executors who, not executors, business owners that are going to be on Shark Tank or Dragon Den are going to also be thinking about, hey, I need to be thinking about not only are people are going to invest in my company, how can I make sure that my family is going to be taken care of in the future? Thanks again for being here.
Thank you for having me so much, David. It was great talking with you today.
Hope you enjoyed the episode. Can you do me a favor? Show some love for the podcast by leaving a rating and review on Apple Podcasts. Can you share it with your community? Subscribe or follow on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. If you want more information, free resources, or just want to get in touch, go to davidedie.com. Until next time, thanks for listening.